Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Titans training camp has begun today. The opening press conference is coming up later this hour, so keep an eye out and listen here, and you'll be able to hear it. You can hear us, of course, on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Both frequencies are absolutely free app. Just download that, thegamenashville.com, the website, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Got a lot of different ways you can listen to us. So please do each and every day. This is the place you're going to want to be for the best sports talk for another great fall football season coming up. So speaking of that, part of this time of the year, the predictions. The predictions are not high for the Titans at all. I know we want to be optimistic here, but it should not surprise everybody that there's not a lot of people picking the Titans to do much this year. It's a lot of let's see what they've got. Let's see what the new coaches look like. Let's see what Levis looks like. USA Today came out with their record projections and Super Bowl winners. They had the Titans at 6-11. That shouldn't surprise anybody. 6-11, I think, is right in the ballpark. I think the over-under for most Vegas odds is about 6.5, and that sounds about right. We'll see how the preseason goes. I'm going to withhold what I think the actual record's going to be until later. I know Jared came out yesterday, acted like he was real controversial by saying 5-12. I don't think that's unrealistic at all. I think it absolutely could be 5-12. But we know there's a lot of X factors there. Mm-hmm. What surprised me about the predictions you sent from USA Today, D-Mace, is who they had winning the Super Bowl. They had the Jets.
Ooh.
What?
I mean, listen, you can't blame them. You really can't blame them.
In the AFC, coming through there, the Jets, I don't buy it.
You can't blame them. They got one of the best defenses in the National Football League. They proved that last year. They won despite their quarterback, and a lot of it, majority of it, all of it was because of that defense. Then you add, you know, Aaron Rodgers back to the mix, another year of not Jackson Smith and Jigba, but the other Ohio State receiver.
Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, Garrett Wilson. Another year of Garrett Wilson. They've upgraded the offense a little bit. It's not a surprise pick for me. I think people look at – we got to start looking at Aaron Rodgers for what he is and who he is. He's still one of the greatest quarterbacks. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. And he's one of the greatest quarterbacks. If you're just talking about arm talent, like what he can do with the ball, he's still one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I know he's, 39, 40 years old. But he's still capable. The last time we saw Aaron Rodgers before the injury, he had a good season. You're talking about a guy in his late 30s. That won MVPs. He's still capable of doing that. So I understand why they picked the Jets. But then again, it's like, man, he's 40 years old. He's coming off an Achilles. Right. Will he be able to make it through the whole season? So there's that flip side.
Yes, and it goes back to our philosophical discussion mm-hmm. in the last hour of how do you build a Super Bowl winner? Mm-hmm. The Buccaneers won. Doing a little bit of what the Jets are trying to do here. The Buccaneers had a good roster mm-hmm. and then added the veteran quarterback in the twilight of his career and won the Super Bowl. The Jets are trying to replicate that. I think everybody would say they've got, because they were bad for so long, mm-hmm. they've started to assemble a pretty good young nucleus of talent. They've mm-hmm. got a talented defense. They've got, as you mentioned, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, some good young players that they can build around. They've got, you would think, a healthy Breece Hall. They've got some other question marks like a lot of people, but they're hoping that if you could get one great year out of Aaron Rodgers, you could win it. The reason I think in theory that could work, I think they could be good. I'm a little skeptical that they can get through the gauntlet of all of the good teams in the AFC. I think there's just too much balance And I think there's too little of a chance that Rodgers still has a magic to get all the way to the end at his age and what happened last year.
Okay, what was their record last year? They were
7-10, I think.
7-10. So we insert, and I know this is sort of the this is the easy way to do it, and I know it doesn't always work out that way, but this way. They were 7-10 last year, and every season is right. not built the same.
With a horrific quarterback.
Yeah, with a horrific quarterback. You add Aaron Rodgers back in the mix, he's got to be at least 3 to 4 wins, at least 3 wins for you.
I think there's no question. I'll grant you that, and a lot of people point to they have a better backup. They have Tyrod Taylor, exactly. who's a much more reliable backup than when they were trying to use Zach Wilson, who was just a mess.
Exactly.
Right?
Then they went out and got Hassan Reddick. That bolsters right, their
who
defense.
Is, that's right a story because Quentin he hasn't Williams. He hasn't
he hadn't signed yet
yeah.
because he wants a bigger deal. Yeah. Well, they said the report is they're going to reallocate some money or give him a little bit more money this year as opposed to redoing the contract. And it seems like he's not opposed to that. But on defense, they got the cornerbacks. Michael Carter Jr. is a damn good cornerback. Obviously, Sauce Gardner. You got DJ Reed. Quentin Williams and Hassan Reddick. This team is built to win now. And I didn't even – those are the guys on defense. They have playmakers as well on offense. I think the biggest thing for them is two. Xavier Gibson, who's a rookie, and then Mike Williams. If you can keep Mike Williams healthy, he is a hell of a red zone target. He's a big target. What is he, 6'5"?
Yes, he's
they
a matchup
have the
problem.
Yin and the yang. They got Garrett Wilson, the smaller, shiftier. You know, he can contort his body into different, you know, positions to make catches, good with his hands. And then you got Mike Williams, if he can stay healthy, the big body receiver that can get downfield to make those tough contested catches in between the hashes. So, to me, this – and that's not even adding Breece Holmes to the mix, Breece Hall to the mix as well. So – you're taking a Hall of Fame quarterback who's still playing good football. Add him to this roster. I see why people say, yeah, that's my pick to win a Super Bowl.
I think that's what we love about the NFL mm-hmm. is that I think it's not that much of a stretch in a lot of cases to add 2 or 3 wins mm-hmm. to what you think yeah. your team is because it can. It can fall right. Guys stay healthy. A couple of people come out of nowhere. Maybe you catch a break in your schedule and you play 1 or 2 teams that just on a given week are decimated with injuries and you take advantage. There's a lot of things. And so I agree. If things fall right for the Jets, I think they could be very good. I just think to win the Super Bowl, that is a stretch. I am not against them making the playoffs. I think they can definitely do that. Mm-hmm. If I'm a Jets fan, I'd be disappointed. If I got 15 games out of Aaron Rodgers and that wasn't good enough to make the playoffs, because I think the rest of the roster is legit.
Yes.
Now, you sent me these. Mm-hmm. Did you take note of who they had winning the AFC South?
Yeah.
They had the Colts.
They had the Colts winning.
11-6.
There's this, I swear, there's this, I don't know what it is, and we all are still trying to figure this out. Maybe it's still the Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning sort of and Tony Dungy sort of like it's bleeding into even teams now because the one reason I wouldn't pick them, I don't know what their quarterback is. Even though I think he can potentially be a good quarterback, he just had surgery on a shoulder. How is he going to come back? How are you going to progress this offense? Are you now in his second year after him only playing so many games? Now are you going to throw a lot of the offense? You still got to walk him through so slowly because it's time or task. He didn't have enough time on task last season. So I don't – and again, Indianapolis may win the division. But I don't understand this love fest with Indianapolis. I just don't, especially not now.
I think – it's another guy that you can see going a lot of directions in Anthony Richardson. Here's another example. We're going to play you a clip from the Ringer podcast. They were talking about Richardson and his wide range of what could happen here because he can really wow you And as we talked about in the last hour, they have done a pretty good job, I think, of setting the table. And you can use the example of how competitive they were last year without Richardson. Really, they still were able to be competitive. And so they've done a pretty good job, I think, with their roster around a young quarterback. But Richardson is a guy that still absolutely could explode. Here's the discussion on the Ringer NFL podcast about what Richardson could be.
Jordan Love thing where he's making throws off platform, but it doesn't affect his arm strength at all. He made one throw in the Rams game where Aaron Donald was holding him. Aaron Donald, yes. The best defensive player of all time, in my opinion. Maybe one of the best football players of all time. Maybe one of the best athletes of all time. Had him in his grasp, and this guy threw a 40-yard perimeter outside the numbers, down the field throw, right on the money in stride. And I can't get that throw out of my mind. And if you watch the games, if you watch that Rams game specifically, there are so many other instances and flashes of his arm talent. Like, you talked about his ceiling. I don't know what his ceiling is. I'm not saying he's going to hit his ceiling. I think there's a very small chance that he hits his ceiling because of how many players do. But if he hits his ceiling, I mean, this is a Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen type talent we're talking about.
Okay, so there's some Anthony Richardson. Remember how young he is. He's only 22. They pointed out he only had 98 dropbacks last year. He played four games. But in those four games, you saw some plays where you're like, wow, right? But this is the issue with him going back to high school is being able to stay on the field. But we have Indy Ben, who, of course, seems to sense when we're going to talk about the Colts. And he has texted in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Colts arguably have a roster right on par with Houston. I'm not sure if I agree with that. Mm-hmm. When Richardson played against Houston in their first meeting, the Colts dominated Houston. Yeah, and that was early in the season before we really knew what everybody was. But I don't think it's crazy to think that if Richardson can stay on the field, that the Colts could have a year like the Texans had last year. Is that crazy?
No, it's not. It's not crazy. And I'm just looking at their offense here. Obviously, you still have one of the best running backs in the National Football League in Jonathan Taylor. You have a top 15 wide receiver in Michael Pittman Jr. I would say he's top 15. Josh Downs, who showed flashes as a rookie, and then went and got Mitchell out of Texas last year. Well, they got him in this draft. So they're trying to bolster. This is exactly what we talked about with Will Levis that he doesn't have. He has three guys, Richardson, that he can grow with. One that just signed a contract and two that are on their rookie contracts. He has three guys that he can grow with in that passing game. And if those three guys hit, we're talking about a passing game that could rival the next year or two, that can rival a Cincinnati Bengals or Kansas City Chiefs, depending on how the quarterback does. So you look at their roster, and it's promising because it's young. Well, honestly, this is the same thing we could say about Will Levis. I've seen some throws Will Levis made was like, wow, you know? So, but yeah. They are not in the position that Indianapolis is as far as their receivers.
We'll come back to this theme. Brian Callahan has taken the podium for his opening press conference for Titans training camp, so let's go out to the complex.
Bunch of guys that now fit that. You know, between Cheeto and LJ, those are two really physical corners. They'll come up and hit. They tackle, and now you add a guy like Jamal in there with Hook in the back end, and Roger as the nickel, and you got a pretty good group of physical presence in the secondary, and that's what we're looking for.
What do you want and kind of expect to see maybe the first few days, especially out of Will?
Yeah, Will's in a really good place. I'm excited about what he's going to play like. I'm excited to see it, but it's more just about playing on time, you know, is getting that timing back. The accuracy, the timing, and decision-making are sort of the three things that you look for, especially early on, and try to get that developed as quickly as possible, kind of get back into the flow. And so those would be what I'm looking for. And I think that having Will, the work that he put in, how he looks right now is exciting. And now we got to go do it.
Were you to hear that he took guys to Cabo and gathered guys at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's great. I, you know, that's what your quarterback, you know, that should be doing. You should have a guy that's going to take a leadership role with the team and make sure that he's bringing guys with him. And that's a big part of leadership is bringing people along with you. And I thought he's done a fantastic job of setting the tone for those guys on offense. and putting the necessary work in to have a chance to be successful, and being able to have a leadership presence that, you know, he probably, this is the first time he's had since he was in college. So I'm excited about that. I think guys responded well to it.
We spoke in the spring about how during that portion of the offseason, he was kind of focused on working through some things, changing the way that he approaches different elements of his game, kind of like being in the lab a little bit. Does that mentality change once you get to August? Do you want to see a significantly different approach to the way that he practices?
Significantly different, no, but it does change. I mean, that's an accurate observation, is that, you know, now we're getting ready to go play, and a lot more of it is about making sure that our offense and our team is ready to go play football. And so there's a little bit less of the experimenting and the tweaking, and more about trying to really dial in and lock down the details and the expectations of the position and the job. And there's still some room for, you know, some experimentation and some, but by this point, by the time we, you know, we really get going, we need to be ready to play football, and it's less about those experimentations. Now, that's not to say that there's not work and technique and all those things over the course of an entire season, but the focus does change a little bit.
How quickly do you need to find your answers on the right side of the offensive line to have that group gel cohesively?
You know, those are going to be real. Those are real battles. I mean, those are real position battles, and they are open. So it's going to go probably the length of training camp. You know, we'll probably declare at some point. They probably won't hear who's going to start there until the opening game, to be honest, and that's the fair way to do it, because I think we got players that are capable, guys are going to compete, and I think the competition raises the level of performance. And so those will be open jobs. That's the competition. Who you see out there the first day may not be who you see there the second day, and they're going to rotate and have equal opportunity to claim that job. And then obviously once someone's play necessitates them getting more reps, then they'll get more reps. And but that's going to be fun. I'm excited about that battle. I think those guys are up to the task, and you're going to see a lot of those guys playing throughout the course of camp and in the preseason. So to answer the question directly about how quickly you'd like that to happen, I mean, sure, you'd love to have all five guys from the day one till the end of training camp together, but that's just not the reality of it. And we got good players that I think are competing for those spots. And, you know, if it takes till the week one, then it takes to week one.
Talked earlier about Will maybe bettering his kind of accuracy and completion percentage. What are some things that he can do, and what are maybe some things the staff can do to help him in that regard?
Yeah, for him, as a quarterback, knowing where to go with the ball, know that the timing that it's required to be at the location are probably the two biggest things. Then you get down to the technique part, your footwork, your recognition of the coverage, all that stuff starts to play in. But the biggest thing is knowing where to go with the ball and knowing where to go with the timing that it's supposed to get there. And as far as coaching-wise, we can make that easy for him. You know, we can make the reads easy. We can make the system manageable, digestible. And then hopefully he takes some mastery over that as well. And over time, he'll get there. But I think that's the biggest thing is just knowing what to do and where to go is kind of the first part. He's got the ability to throw accurately. His mechanics and all those things, he's an accurate thrower. A lot more of accuracy is about throwing it on time and knowing when to let the ball go, where the window is, understanding location of defenders and where you're supposed to put the ball. So those are all things that we'll work on, you know, probably every day for most of training camp. And I think he's improved a tremendous amount over the course of the offseason as well. So, again, I'm excited to see, you know, what Will looks like as we get going.
You were doing a more extensive pre-practice stretch than we'd seen before. Is that something that continues now?
Yeah.
And how much does Zach feel like that gets you guys?
Yeah, it's more of a dynamic movement warm-up than just like an old-school stretch. And a lot of that is prepping the body for movement. And Zach's really well researched. He spends a lot of time thinking about those things, adapting when new information comes to light and new things come into the warm-up procedure. But I think our players really responded to it well, and they liked it. They feel ready for practice. And it's more about getting ready to go full speed and burst than it is just to stretch like we're all used to stretching, you know. So I feel like you probably see that around the league a lot of places, is there's more of a shift into this dynamic warm-up and movement-based warm-up as opposed to just the old-school stretch lines.
You have to sacrifice a little bit of time elsewhere to trade off for
what you haven't do? Yet. Haven't yet. I mean, we'll, as we start getting some of these longer practices in training camp, you know, we'll see. It'd be my first time doing it like that. But I don't think so. I mean, there's enough hours in the day and in the rules of the CBA that I don't think we'll have any issues. But, yeah, it's a little bit longer than your traditional beginning of practice for sure.
As you put things together, how do you approach just like veteran days off, the management for guys, especially someone like Snead?
Yeah, we track some of it's injury related or coming off of injuries. That's a training staff. That's Todd and his crew kind of advising on when those guys might need to be pulled back. We also manage loads off of the GPS and a strength staff, so they manage all that in the sports science part on how many yards are running, how many full speed yards, what the accelerations and decelerations are. Those things all get factored in. Sometimes a guy will come, you'll end up in maybe the third period of practice, and he'll have sort of redlined, if you will, on some of that GPS stuff. And Zach will come over and say, hey, he's done for the day. And then we shut him down. So there's a science part of it that's tracked. There's an injury part of it from the training room. And then sometimes it's just a good old-fashioned guy needs a break, but for the most part, we try to base as much as we can off of whatever data we've received and what our training staff sees in the rehab processes.
Is there a separate approach for Snead given some of the ways he's been managed in the past?
Yeah, he'll be managed differently just because that's how he's, he managed to play almost every snap last year, and so that's the goal is be healthy and available on Sundays. And so to get him to that point, we have a program in place for him that we've consulted with him on and our trainers and doctors. And so we should be all good there.
Changing the kickoff.
From the players that have injuries or are working through something, the team as a whole, when it comes to managing that ramp-up period, the physicality over the next couple weeks, how do you manage that line leading up into putting on the pads and then also joint practices down the line?
Yeah, the way the CBA is spelled out now, we're under, an 8-day acclimation period, which really ultimately it forces us to keep the process in a slow build. So the first day is today. We can't do any football. It's more of just a movement, conditioning, whatever that is. The second day, you get 75 minutes. The third day, you get 90, and then you get 90, and then you have to have a day off every 7 days. And so it sort of spells itself out. And then once that first day off hits, we'll be in our kind of our ramp period in the full pads in our normal cadence throughout training camp. So you get into training camp based on the rules and it's already there. It's almost like OTAs for a couple of days. There's no helmets and run shorts and all that. So it's pretty easy to follow those rules, and the players, it's been negotiated, so we have to. But that kind of manages itself. And then when you get into camp, there's a part of like you have to do hard things still. Like at practice, you have to be in pads. It has to be hard. It's got to be hot. You want all those things to happen, and that's part of building up your toughness and your resilience as a football team. And so that'll happen as we get into the pads. The joint practices are really fun. I love joint practices, and it's a good test because now you got guys going a little bit harder. You're not trying to say take care of each other the same way that you do with your own team. And it's a little bit more competitive, and it's controlled still though. So you get all the benefits of competition without, the game day where it's live and all the bullets are flying and those guys are at risk of injury. It's a little bit more controlled than that. So really excited to have those guys come out here and practice. It'll be fun.
With the rule change that's coming up and you're getting to implement that now in the kickoff, does it change at all the type of athletes that you put on kickoff return and kickoff cover rather than just having like a bunch of guys who can run 50 yards and hit somebody head on?
I think it is going to change a little bit. I don't know for sure until we see a little more actual contact and like the preseason games. I mean, obviously no one's going to show scheme, but you're going to get a feel for what it looks like. And my guess would be, yeah, there's going to be some changes in the body types across the league. I think it'll be interesting to follow the types of players that are going to be able to be effective in those roles, because it does. It's very different, very, very different than anything we've seen before. So it makes me nervous, and I'm also excited to see what it looks like.
Framework in mind in terms of starters and how much you want them in this game, that game?
Yeah, those conversations we've kind of started between Rand and I and working through what that's going to look like. I'll hesitate to say anything now because it could change. I don't want to pin myself down to one thing, but I do, our team needs to play together. They need to play football together. We need to operate on offense and to operate on defense. We got a lot of new faces and new people here. So that's an important part of the preseason to me. So our starters will play. They'll play enough is probably the best way to put it. And then just philosophically, when we practice against the Seahawks for 2 days, they'll probably play less in that game because they'll get a bunch of heavy work for 2 days against them anyway in practice. But I do see our starters will probably play in all three games, and we'll see, you know, what that looks like lengthwise. But we need to play together and operate together and play some football before we get started.
How do you view the opportunity for snaps in the tight end room, especially with the three of Chig, Wiley, and Vinette?
Yeah, it's a room I'm excited about. I've really been impressed with Josh and Chig. Having Nick as a veteran presence, the guy's done it for a long time, has been great. It's going to be – they're all going to get plenty of opportunities. I mean, it's not a room that is going to be dominated by one guy. Those guys are all going to help us. They all are going to have roles, and it allows us to be a little bit more multiple in a personnel grouping. So we can use all three of them. We can use two of them. We can use one of them. And they all have different skill sets. So it's sort of a we're going to fill the tight end role with a lot of different players as opposed to maybe just one or two guys like some teams do. But they're also young, too. Then they're emerging. And so I'm excited to see what Josh does in training camp, how Chig comes along. So it's a fun group. I'm excited about them. They got great energy. And I think that they got a chance to really help our offense.
Talked about Mason and Malik competing. What's that look like, maybe from a rep standpoint, how you handle them?
Yeah, it'll still be pretty split evenly. You know, obviously at some point, just like all position battles, you do have to make a decision. And a lot of that's going to be how they play. You know, they're going to get opportunities to play in games, and that goes a long way in the evaluation process. But also just the performance and practice every day, the consistency. They'll both have equal opportunity to establish themselves as the backup quarterback, and I'm looking forward to that competition.
From a coach's standpoint, is it a little bit more unique in the running backs room, just with two similar backs in terms of deciding who will be the starter with Tajay and Tony?
Yeah, I don't really look at them as one starting over the other, truthfully. I think they both have really unique skills that we're going to find a way to use in a lot of different ways. Then that's the fun part for me right now is how are we going to deploy those guys? And maybe they both play at the same time. Maybe one gets hot and we let them run. Maybe one gets, you know, maybe we just rotate back and forth. I don't know what that's going to look like yet. But they're both going to play quite a bit of football for us. And I don't view either one of them as a starter or a backup. They're both starting players to me. And then the rest of the running back room is going to be fun to see how that shakes out. I mean, we still need guys to contribute on special teams in the running back room, and we need a third back to step up. And there's some competition there kind of underneath the surface for that third back.
A little bit of a picture. Just what is your barometer for success in year one? What are some specific goals you have for this team that you think you need to get?
Yeah, you know, I try not to look too far ahead. But I would like to see an efficient offense, an offense that looks like we know what we're doing. The style of defense, you want guys to play within the scheme. You want to see the competitive nature, the attitude that we're looking for, the soundness of the scheme. You know, I think that we're going to be a really competitive football team. And to put a number on wins or losses or expectations, I think a lot of it still remains to be seen. You know, we have a lot of work to do to get to that point. And I'm excited about the work and the process to get there. And, you know, I want to see us get better every day ultimately. And it's a cliche and it's a coach speak answer. I understand that, but that's the truth really. I mean, I haven't gone much past, you know, my meetings this afternoon I have to get ready for. So, I'll let you guys determine what success looks like.
As close as you thought you'd be to where you want to be when you took the job 9 months ago.
I do. I feel really good about where our team is at. I feel good about the players we've drafted. I feel good about the players we added in free agency. I feel good about the guys that have here in the locker room before I got here. So I think the team's in a good place. I love the way they work. I love their attitude. And so we're going to see what we're all about. And the best part about it is you know, we get to put pads on and go play football and get to show people whether we're up to the task or not. And I think that our guys are, and I'm excited to see that.
Another late signing for you guys, Jaron Christian.
What's that one more time?
It's another late signing for you guys is Jaron Christian. I think that's how you pronounce his name. What did you guys like about him, and is there any chance he gets a shot at right tackle? I know he's been more left than the.
No, yeah, those guys, you know, the guys that we've added are all going to have opportunities. you know, we've added some veteran tackles, guys that my dad's got some experience with as well. So that's always a plus. But guys that have played, you know, I think that helps to help guys that have been in the fire and know what it looks like, and have played football. So you need every lineman usually. Unfortunately, that's just kind of how the life is in the NFL, is that you're going to have injuries. You're going to have guys that have to step up and play. And so we're trying to get as many of those guys that can help us as we can.
White at all, or is he more strictly left? Or?
I'll say this. The best tackle that we have will play on the right. And whatever that looks like, if you're not starting right tackle, they got to still be able to play both. So if you're the swing or you're one of those backup tackles, they're going to play on both sides. So I wouldn't pin any of those guys down to one side at this point. As we get going more, you may see something settle in that way. But to start, they're going to be able to play both sides. Go ahead, Jerry.
Between, you know, putting in an offense and bringing along a young quarterback, mm-hmm. and yet at the same time knowing that those same mistakes, if they happen in a game, could be incredibly costly. How do you manage that in training camp?
Yeah. That's a good question. The ability to test in practice for a quarterback, you know, a throw, a tight window throw, maybe he wouldn't make in a game. You have to put a little bit of faith and trust in the quarterback that they're going to try some things in practice and it's encouraged to, with the understanding that maybe if that was a game, you might not make that throw. Now, the trust comes in is that if it really is a game, would you still make that throw? We don't know that. You know, until you actually get out there and play. But I think Will's got a pretty good grasp, and Mason and Malik as well, about, you know, when it's appropriate to be more risky and more aggressive than maybe you might be in a normal game on a first and 10 than you are in a 7-on-7 period in practice. And so there is an experimentation that they're allowed. There's some freedom there. But we always coach it afterwards. Like, that's good. I'm glad you decided to try that. Just understand that if this was – you know, first and 10 in the first quarter of the first game, we're probably going to check this ball down. And they work through, that's on them to work through, but we coach that part of it when they're in those positions.
Our coaching staffs here have awarded guys for off-season mm-hmm. work. Do you recognize players for, you know, now or during the season?
We did not for the off-season part. You know, it just wasn't – we were more concerned about just trying to get everything off the ground and new strength staff and new coaching staff and all that. There will be things in the season, you know, players of the game and players of the week and all that that we'll award. There's some parking spots out there that might be open that are really close to the door. That might be part of it. But, yeah, we will do those things when the season rolls around. We did not do any of that in the off season. More focused on getting our systems off the ground and kind of every phase of the building.
Dad, you talked about how there's been so many things on your plate for the last 7 months or whatever it is. One, just how excited are you to be to this day, to have a team here to start the season? And two, what was your message to them when you first met them?
Our first actual first team meeting, official team meeting, is after this. So that'll be the messaging when I get there. But I'm you know, I get to certain points in the summer and you can't wait to get started again, you know, and it's always my favorite time of year is when training camp starts. You know, obviously there's optimism and things are good and it's exciting. It's a fun time of year. I love training camp. It's one of my favorite parts of football. So to be here and be the head coach of the Titans in my first year and our first training camp is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm excited to get going. And, again, I just it's a pretty cool moment for me to be able to be up here talking about training camp, and it won't always be this exciting and this optimistic, but it is right now, and I'm going to enjoy it.
All right, that's Brian Callahan, head coach, Tennessee Titans, the opening day of training camp. So a couple of things that were noteworthy. Let's catch up and step away for just a moment, and on the other side, D-Mace and I will hit some of the big things that I think will sort of set the table and what everybody's going to be talking about this afternoon as the Titans get it going here. 615-737-1025, phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Willie and D-Mace continues after this.
All right, so I've got but ready to roll.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. It's Derek Mason, and you heard me tell you about Dr. Lodge and his staff at Cool Springs MD for some time now. And if you set out to lose weight, chances are it's not your first time setting a resolution to shed some extra pounds only to face disappointment. But at Cool Springs MD, Dr. Lodge and his team understands the frustration of this cycle, and that is why they offer a different approach to weight loss, people. Their comprehensive weight loss program is led by Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and addresses the root cause of weight gain with tailored nutrition, exercise, blood test supplements, and more. They will customize a program specific to you, no one else but you. So connect with Dr. Lodge at CoolSpringsMD.com today to schedule your appointment for a personalized weight loss plan just for you. That's Cool Springs MD, where your weight loss journey becomes a success story.
Back here on Willie and D-Mace, General Manager Rand Carthon now at the podium for the Tennessee Titans on opening day of training camp.
Are you done at safety with Adams, or are you still looking at other safeties to bring in?
I mean, we're looking at other people in, at all positions. We were just talking, you know, about bringing some guys in just to kick some tires and, you know, see where guys are. You know, our roster isn't set. Obviously, we don't have to have the roster set until September. So we're always looking to improve at every position.
Do you think Adams fits on this team, and maybe what role do you envision for him this year?
Oh, he's definitely a fit. Obviously, the early part of his career, he was under Denard. Now, Denard wasn't the coordinator per se, but someone that he's very familiar with as well as Steve Jackson and Frank Bush. And so we have the opportunity to bring a guy in who's played at a very high level in this league. And we feel that, you know, we keep him healthy and get him out there on the field, he can continue to make those plays. And, you know, a guy like Hook, having Hook, you know, still here gives us the versatility to bring guys in, whether it's a strong or a free, because Hook can play an interchangeable spot.
How big a concern is that recent health history?
I mean, it's always a concern. You know, that's one of the things when, you know, when we're talking about bringing guys in, and A-Rob is, you know, and BG, all those guys we're talking, we're looking at the health. That's the main thing. There have been guys here that we've brought in to sign and just couldn't get to that point where we felt comfortable with the health. I think the way our deal is structured with him, you know, it's a prove it deal for us and a prove it deal for him. And I know Jamal, I know how he's intrinsically wired. He wants to prove to the world and to everybody that he can stay healthy and still play at a high level. And it's our job, you know, as a training staff with Todd and Matt and Mike and those guys to make sure he's out there on the field as much as possible.
How do you feel about the state of the pass rush right now, and how much can this defense maybe make up for any deficiencies there by blitz?
I mean, it's just like anything else when you're playing the game of football, especially the pass rush. If you don't have, you know, those fastballs off the edge, you got to find different ways to get there. I know one thing about Denard, our defense is going to be aggressive. You know, whether we had Lawrence Taylor and Pat Swillen rushing opposite of each other, we're going to still be aggressive and come after people. You know, but, you know, it is what it is. Still got to improve the pass rush, whether that's on the edge, whether that's interior. However, we got the guys that we feel can cover people, you know, and so I think that'll help the rush as well. But, again, just something that we're always looking to improve.
I guess for both you and Anthony, I mean, are there, you're talking about kicking tires on some players. Are there certain positions you want to see how things go in camp before deciding, hey, we need to go out and get this player at this position, that position? And when is that day? How long do you give a position group a chance to establish itself before you look around maybe somewhere else?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're coming in and you feel good about the roster you've put together so far. And I think as you go through camp and you evaluate and then you start making decisions from there, if you want to, you know, maybe explore another position, bring some guys in, work them out. But I think as you go through it, training camp, make those decisions as you go.
And I'll follow that up. You know, I've probably over the last week or two spoken to maybe two or three GMs around the league, just going through our rosters, where you're heavy, where you're light. You know, there are going to be some teams and some guys that show up in the preseason. There are going to be some positions where we have, you know, where we're heavy. So it's not just in terms of signing free agents. You know, there are going to be trade opportunities. You know, as of right now, we're sitting at the seventh spot in the claim order. You know, plan on taking advantage of that, you know, being able to claim some guys that come free, you know, at some point. So, like I said, we're always looking, and we're going to always do whatever we got to do to improve this team.
What are your thoughts on Sweat and where he is and how he's progressed through the offseason and your outlook for immediately with camp?
Yeah, so, you know, I had a lot of conversations with Sweat this offseason. You know, he's and it was more so about, you know, making sure that when he comes back, his mind and his body's right. Because I think sometimes as a rookie, you come in and you don't realize how fast training camp comes. And then once it gets here, how long the season is. And just making sure that, you know, he was doing the right things this offseason to make sure he comes back in the right mind space, and also physically. And then also just having general conversations about him. You know, he was in Houston when the hurricane came through, and just making sure his family and him was okay.
Did
defensive line, aside from Jeff, even in years past, it's always been a group that's been deep and a group that's had a lot of, you know, guys who have experience like DeNico. You don't have as much of that this year. What's your evaluation of some of these up-and-coming guys like McClendon and Bohanna that may be getting more of a shot this year?
Yeah, I mean, they get their opportunity. You know, it's just like everything else. Like you said, in the past, you know, you've had a bunch of great D linemen, but even those guys at some point were young and had to prove themselves and earn a spot. And it's just the way the league rolls. You know, I don't want to say this sounds bad, but like kind of out with the old and with the new. You know, these guys get their opportunity. And, you know, I know TK's up for the challenge. I know Big Q and Coburn, like all those guys, and Marlon Davison. These guys want opportunities, and they're going to have the opportunity to do so. I think all these guys grew this offseason. You know, it's been good to see them run, you know, going out there a little bit ago and seeing these guys move around. And you can tell it's a different group. I think even Jeff, like, it doesn't get talked about as much, but, like, Jeff's leadership, you know, and the way he's, like, really, you know, it was always like Jeff was the leader of the D-line group. And then now you feel Jeff is not only the leader of the D-line group and the defense, but the whole team. And you feel it and you see it. And, you know, the way he goes is the way the group goes, just not in terms of on the field, but off the field as well, and how he handles his business. And so he set a great example for those guys, so they have something to follow.
Brandon, do you feel like with the assistance that, you know, your defensive coordinator hired and obviously Brian looked at, there's so much trust put in a lot of them with just even some of the guys they have connections with that they're bringing them in, that they will continue to develop them or maybe make them a better player where they couldn't get as much out of there? Like, how much of that trust played into a part with those assistants?
No, I mean, our assistant coaches, you guys have heard me talk about it. Like, I'm excited to see these guys work and see these guys, you know, get on the grass. Like, that's the exciting part. I believe these guys really coach ball. I've worked with a few of them. Some of them I admired from afar. But these guys are a talented group of dudes who know how to coach ball and know how to maximize, you know, players' abilities. And, you know, it's not just me hyping them up. You just look at their history and it says it, you know. So for using relationships to get those guys, like we talked about earlier with Jamal, and, you know, players come in with trust in coaches, right? And that helps, and it kind of, you know, alleviates some of the initial wall to get through that the coaches would normally have to. And it puts the players in a position to be the purveyors of the message, you know, for the coach. The coach, they know what the coach is expecting, and now they can come in the room and kind of let guys know, whether it's, you know, a young guy getting ripped by a coach and not knowing how to respond, and, you know, having the vet who's been with the coach, you know, giving them a little pro tip on how to deal with it and handle that. Like, that helps us. And that allows, you know, not only our room, a position room, but the whole team to grow.
Brandon, there was a lot of discussion just around where Traylon stood with you guys during the offseason, during the spring, and just with the guys you guys brought in, like Tyler and Calvin and whatnot. Just how have you seen him maybe handle all that to this point, and just kind of his approach up to this point?
I think Traylon's really grown up. You know, he sent us a picture, you know, during the offseason, this little break here, you know, showing his new physique. You know, he came in and he really took to heart, you know, the conversation that he had with myself and with Coach Cali. And he's completely bought in. I've, you know, messaged with him, you know, throughout the offseason. And I think he's in a really good spot. And, you know, again, we added Tyler and we added Calvin. Obviously, D-Hop was here, but for a young guy like that, he has vets that he can learn from, you know. And again, with him and his size and his speed and his explosiveness, and now, you know, he can be an X, he can be a Z. You know, Tyler's primary spot is probably going to be the F. You know what I mean? So I'm expecting, you know, things from him and just his unselfishness. I know it was some talk about him taking Gunner reps, but that was because he wanted to, and he wants to prove that he can stay healthy and play top level football.
You've been very patient, I guess, with Caleb Farley. I guess, do you feel like he's in a position to compete for a spot on this roster? And what's your message to him as he tries to stick?
It's like you said, man. Just, you know, be out there as much as you can. Obviously, you know, in order to make this team, you have to be healthy and you have to be there. Really encouraged by Caleb and his just his commitment to the process, right? He's had every reason, whether it's on the field or off the field, to step away and take breaks. But he's dealt with a ton of adversity. He's taken a head on, and every day he shows up to work ready to go. So you can't do anything but respect that and admire that. But just like everybody else on the team, he's going to have to stay healthy and show that he earned a spot on this team.
And A.J. Osmith, Sam Somerville, long list of acquisitions and promotions. Can you maybe speak to the changes that have taken place this offseason under you and your staff, and maybe how that helps the team?
Yeah, I think it's just like the roster, and I'll let A-Rob go into it a little bit more, but just like how we treat the players, we're always looking to improve, you know, our personnel department and get talented people in here, you know, that's going to help us grow and help us identify players. You know, obviously, you know, we all sit and talk and look at the first round picks, you know, so you're not unearthing anyone there. Those guys kind of stand out. But, you know, for us and for most teams and the teams that I've been a part of, you know, hitting on the draft is you have to do that. But then being able to find those undrafted guys, you know, that allow you to, you know, steal depth, you know, on the back end helps you as well. And those, it's not me that's out there, you know, scouring the country looking for those guys. It's the people you mentioned, the AJs, the Sams, the Keenan Agnews, the, you know, Kalen Reese. It's those guys that are out there doing it. So we need as much top-level talent there as well.
All right, that's Rand Carthon, his press conference, along with Anthony Robinson, his longtime right-hand man that he brought along with him when he took the job. And that last answer was interesting, bringing in a lot of players. He's got his guys that are starting to come in there. There was a long list of them released last week, and you're not going to remember all of these names. One of them is Alonzo Highsmith's son.
Yes.
Make him remember Alonzo playing, yes, for sure.
Ohio State grad.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll sort out what we think are the biggest takeaways from the first press conference for Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon. And then we'll talk football with Tim Hasselbeck later in the hour, about 1:30. So we got some really good stuff coming in our last hour. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.